The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guest, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good afternoon and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Partnering for Success in IT, a Dating Game. Our guests for today's show are Catherine Boivy, Jim Weatherby, and Matthew Mazewski. Catherine is the Senior Vice President of Information Technology at Pacific Blue Cross. Jim Weatherby is the Stevenson Chair, Professor of Information Technology at Texas Tech University. And Matthew Mazewski is the Chief Information Officer for the state of Wisconsin. Good afternoon, panel. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey. Good afternoon.
So how was your long weekend? Was everybody rested?
Well rested, thank you.
Very good. So question is about partnership, whether it's successful or not. I mean, we talk about partnerships, strategic alignment, strategic relationships, and when we truly look at the empirical data that's available out there, the percentages which are pertaining to failure are higher, much higher than what you see as success. Where could we see as the potential reasons might lie? Catherine?
Well, Sanjit, there's a number of areas that you could look at to make to ensure that your partnership is successful. You have to spend some time in selecting the partner. You know, just because somebody looks good, just like in dating, may not be your right partner. While Pierce Brosnan may be good as in the movies, he may not make an excellent partner in IT relationships. So it's really important to select the right partner, the partner and the firm who has the same goals as you have, same culture that you have. Another thing that could be done is setting up governance and managing expectations through governance. One of the most important things I find in doing partnership is getting buy-in from the CEO and senior management and explaining to them why we are doing that and getting them to be the cheerleader for the partnership.
Yeah, this is Matt, and you know, defining the goals of the relationship clearly is one of the keys to being successful. And you know, even though you mentioned that the empirical data shows that most don't succeed, I don't know if it would be most, but it certainly is a challenge for them to succeed. But the payoff is incredible on the other side, so it's really worth all the work that it takes to make these things succeed.
Well, Matt makes an excellent point there. The defining the roles, that you can think of it in a very simple dichotomy. There's what is going to be done, and there's how it's going to get done.
Yep.
And where you start to get some difficulty is when the what we're going to do is not real clear. And IT people have to have enough understanding of the business to have meaningful discussions about what you're going to do with the technology, how it's going to be used to gain competitive advantage or improve productivity or the strategic goals of the company. Similarly, when the non-technical people, the executive people, get too involved in how it's going to be done, sometimes that they have just enough knowledge to be dangerous, and that can cause problems. So some clarity around those roles are very important, and creating comfort in those roles. The biggest mistake IT people can make is talking too much about how it's going to be done instead of focusing on what's going to be done.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, coming back to that all the time is something that's extremely important. I was just in a meeting yesterday with one of our large business areas, our Department of Health and Family Services, and repeatedly stated that it's not my goal to frustrate at all the end business goals of the department or the line of business. In fact, it's my goal to make sure that you get everything that you want, as long as it's something that can be leveraged across the entire enterprise. And being able to clearly state that at the beginning can disarm some of the resistance you might meet down the road.
Absolutely. Focusing on what business problems are we trying to solve, or what opportunities are we trying to capitalize on, and keeping the conversation in that area and coming back with the how it's going to be done later.
in a way, you need to get people to understand that the IT department can no longer be everything to everyone. We can't provide every bit of technology that they need, that we need to partner with other organizations or sometimes vendors to deliver it. We can't be an island unto ourselves.
And Catherine's point earlier, going back to your question on why they fail so often, Sajong, is that it's easy to underestimate the importance of the relationship. In the situations I've seen great success, there is a comfort, a friendship, a desire to work together that is crucial above and beyond all the other technical issues that you have to address.
So can we see basically at what stage usually we see more failures or more challenges versus, you know, like when you're in, there's an inception phase where we are coming together versus people are trying to get to know each other, test waters of who can yield how much. And, you know, like as again, drawing parallels to dating, at what stage do you think most of the fiascos or most challenges come?
One of the areas that I've observed becomes a big problem is when the person, the system, or the group the system's being developed for don't really have the time or interest to focus on what the system's going to do, and they just sort of turn it over to technical people who, they'll do something, but it may not be what you want. I actually draw a parallel. I design houses as a side issue, and people can tell you they don't like a house once they're in it, but if they're not involved on the front end to help make the decisions about the design, they're going to regret it down the road. So that initial willingness and interest in having the time to engage in dialogue about what the system's going to be is crucial.
I think that's a good point. The initial involvement is important, but I find in a couple of partnerships that we have had it that once we have the kickoff and we have governance in place, there is sort of a period while you have gotten to know each other, but you haven't delivered anything together. And if you don't nurture the group at that time and report even small successes, even if it is best practices that were gained or the team uncovered an unknown problem, a new way of thinking, if you don't communicate the success, however minor, of the team, there is sort of a complacency, and the delivery main of the end result may not be there because people are just nice to each other instead of worrying about delivering what needs to be delivered. So it's important to nurture the collaboration as well as report on the value and the successes of it at every stage.
Yeah. Those are, you know, great comments. I would say that the biggest, getting back to specifically the question you asked, I mean, getting to the point where you're just about to either go live or convert or do a consolidation, in essence, being at the altar, if we're going to extend the metaphor that we're working with, when everything becomes real, not just the theory of making things permanent, this becomes the real deal, that's when things really become the hardest. And that's really when the CIO earns their keep. I mean, that's when you've got to not just be a technologist, but you've got to be a marriage counselor as well.
Well, and it's also important to talk to other CIOs who have gone through this because you can learn best practices and what worked for them. There aren't many books for CIOs on how to create partnership and collaborate. There are outside of IT, there are books, but some of the best practices, I don't know if I mentioned, we have a CIO association in Canada that allows people to send out an email to others. Have you had this? Do you have experience in partnering? What could you suggest? So informal best practices also help moving it along.
Well, Catherine makes an excellent point. You need to be able to learn from other people's mistakes. Your career cannot sustain you learning them all by yourself.
Absolutely.
Now, when you mentioned about learning from other people's mistakes, do you think there are enough forums where people actually tell their own internal horror stories and dirty linen, they'll expose that in front of the other crowd?
Well, there's two ways to access it. One, if you're in a company, you're developing systems all the time. And so it's important that the people that have developed systems recently say, if we had to do over, here's things we would have done differently. You know, for example, and there's certain ones that are fairly universal. For example, I didn't have time to spend working with IT in the early stage, and now I'm going to have to make time to repair the damage that was done. And it's real typical to say, when you're developing a system, you almost need to look around and say, who is it that we absolutely positively cannot spare to work with IT? And that's probably the person you need to spare. Typically what happens, they look around at who's not busy, or they hire somebody new who doesn't have that in-depth understanding of the what is going to have to happen for it to be a success. So that's a typical pathology that you'll find. But there's nothing like a testimonial from a manager who says, you know, we just didn't put the time on the front end to get the design decisions that were needed to make this a success.
One of the places to have, Catherine mentioned her, the association in Canada, and I can't stress, I'm the president of the National Association of State CIOs, and it gives being a part of those types of associations gives you the ability to have these conversations where everyone can put their guards down because you're in the same situation, talk about best practices, but most importantly, talk about the things that didn't work. And I find those things to be absolutely incredibly valuable as we do our day-to-day work.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk to other CIOs and you hear about their problems, and in our associations there are only CIOs, we don't allow vendors, we know that we have all made mistakes, so we are not proud, and we do listen to each other because we don't want to make the same mistakes. My dad used to say that smart people learn from other people's mistakes, and stupid ones from their own. And I would like to add, even stupider ones than that don't even learn from their own. So it's much better to learn from other people's mistakes, and CIO associations are great for that. But in addition to that, you asked if there is enough forums to exchange information. I think having informal team meetings like we have, and have, you know, bring in chips and popcorn and just talk about what works and what doesn't in the partnering relationship, help as well, because people are not threatened because you're not saying, George there didn't do such and such. You're saying, here's what works for me and here's what didn't work for me. So it's not personalized, but yet you can get the message across.
That's a good point, Catherine. I mean, and what happens as a result of that, you build bridges. Let's say that it's a separate line of business and their separate IT shop. You all of a sudden build a relationship that you can rely on for the future.
Let's just take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and continue our thoughts about what challenges do we face while we are going through the partnerships, and how do we learn from each other's mistakes and basically learn from other people's mistakes, as Catherine mentioned. So let's stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol is a professional services firm with the mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT better. www.evol.com. Visit today. More and more business people recognize the importance of spirituality in their work. How do busy professionals discover what rings true for them? Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salick explores what it means to be spiritually fulfilled in business and how to integrate spiritual direction into a career. Expert guests, authors, and inspiring speakers join Karen every week to discuss such issues as honesty, compassion, generosity, ethics, and integrity in the workplace. Take a positive step forward to greater life balance. Tune into Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salick, broadcast to you every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is Partnering for Success in IT, a Dating Game. And our guests for today's show are Catherine Boivy, Jim Weatherby, and Matthew Mazursky. Catherine is the Senior Vice President of Information Technology at Pacific Blue Cross. Jim is the Stevenson Chair Professor of Information Technology at Texas Tech University, and Matthew is the Chief Information Officer for the state of Wisconsin. Before the break, we were trying to get into the area where we were understanding what it takes to make successful partnerships, at what point does the challenge lie, and how much time does CIO put into understanding and learning from their own mistakes and or with from other people's mistakes. So please continue your thoughts.
Well, one thought, we spent some time talking about sharing and learning from other CIOs. Another very helpful thing to do is to have the customer of the system spend time with customers elsewhere, and within the company or even outside the company, that have developed similar systems so that they can talk about what they wish they had done differently, because they can have a lot more credibility than an IT person who might be perceived as being self-serving in terms of arguing for a particular approach.
That's a good point, Jim. I mean, in particular, we're doing a large-scale email consolidation in the state of Wisconsin, and I just got an offer from our largest customer that we just converted to basically become a testimonial about what we're doing. The important part of that is resistance that we see is basically fear. It has nothing to do with technology. It has to do with fear that we don't understand the individual business situations. And this person was willing to put out there to the other departments that, in fact, we do, and we took it into account, and we had a very good success, and there's nothing like that.
And if IT communicates in business terms and doesn't use any of the propeller head words, I think the buy-in is more forthcoming. I mean, in business areas, they are partnering now because in today's flattened world, organizations need to collaborate. So collaborating and partnering is not an unknown concept for business. It's just that it hasn't been associated with IT. And if we explain it in terms that the business understand and don't put some technical widgety name next to it, then they'll just accept it as being the same sort of process that they are going through every day.
Well, Catherine, you made a point earlier that I'd like to back up to when you talked about getting some deliverables early on. And this is just such a crucial thing in credibility. IT people, we have a tendency to want to do the big bang a year or two from now. And we're able to build a lot more credibility if we chunk the project down and say we can give you this capability in a month and add this capability in 2 months and this capability in another 3 weeks, so that they can see some progress being made, as opposed to pouring money into what could seem like a bottomless pit without any results for a year or two. In fact, I've actually found in my research that there's the chance of failing goes up exponentially the longer a project goes without giving some functional deliverable to the customer.
Now, when we talk about diagnostics, and in fact, Catherine, you mentioned an item there where you said that we have to find a right fit. Now, it's a good question to ask, but easier said than done. What is the logistics and what is the process that somebody could be identified, or if you're looking within your own company, see if our own company is ready for getting into some sort of partnership, if are we a good fit, or, you know, what are we supposed to do as a, you know, preparatory step for us to go out and say, okay, let's go dating?
I seem to remember reading an article in the Harvard Business Review where they said that culture fit and personal relationship was the single most important point in finding a partnership or collaboration. But in addition to that, you have to have the same goals, the same business goals, because if one partner is in it for cost cutting and the other one to have new innovation and strategic differentiation, there is a different mindset. We did a collaborative effort with another Blue Cross where we sat down first and did a memorandum of agreement of what is it that our focus will be, so we won't be everything to everyone. So one of the things to examine when choosing a partner is the culture, is the personal relationship, getting, you know, almost sitting down and describing the partner we like. Would it be one who is a leader in an area, or one that excels in the same area as we are, or one that is complementary? It's you know, one of the ways you could test the partnership. Would you feel comfortable introducing the partner to the board of directors, or if we're there with the, to the parents? That's one of the sort of litmus tests of would it be a partner where the partnership would survive.
Well, and using the dating metaphor, most people would advise premarital counseling as a good step. And so doing some type of team-building exercise where people get to know each other, and having some time for relationship building. You know, one of the interesting questions I like to ask IT people is how many of you have taken someone for lunch that you would consider to be a customer, say, in the past month? And I get amazingly few hands go up. And, I, you know, just taking lunch just to get to know them better. Now, if you ask a group of marketing people how many of you have done that in the last 3 days, all their hands go up. And even the IRS has agreed that it's tax deductible to take someone to lunch because it makes good business sense just to do that. It's a good time to build relationships, and we tend to underestimate the importance of that. And certainly when you're dating, lunch is involved before marriage comes.
one of the places, this might be one of the places where the analogy kind of falls apart a little bit. You know, I found that in a large enterprise, and certainly Blue Cross is one of them, the state of Wisconsin is one as well, in a large enterprise, oftentimes there is an appearance, a facial appearance, that there is some sort of conflict that wouldn't allow a partnership to exist. But what it takes is a lot more work to find out what the true nature of the conflict is. And in almost every occasion, I've been able to find out that in fact the conflict does not preclude a partnership, but it just requires a little bit more work and a lot more attention, and in essence, communication becomes the most important thing. So maybe that brings us full circle and the analogy is complete again.
Yeah,
we found in our partnership and collaborative efforts that the projects we deliver take a lot longer because we have to spend time in collaborating and finding each other's strengths, etc. But the project that we deliver is richer in features and works better and more business-focused.
Now, let's talk about a couple of statements that are made by non-IT folks about the IT folks, that IT folks are usually territorial. They try to throw their weight around, and they are know-it-all, and they may not be the best suited when it comes down to partnership because we don't see them to be reciprocating as we would like to. Now, all these statements are made by folks about some extreme cases. However, if we have to look at overall IT landscape, we have to first of all see if that's true in the first place. And Secondly, we are trying to see if change management is a prerequisite when it specifically comes down to partnerships to be developed for IT, because there's some, you know, groundwork to be done. How much truth is in it?
Matt? Well, you know, I think that one of the keys when I took over as CIO of Wisconsin was that arrogance was certainly one of the kind of beliefs about both the staff and the senior leadership of our organization, and it was a showstopper for me. We have no ability to be arrogant in information technology because it gets us outside of the game. What we need to do to be a partner is to admit that we don't know an awful lot, sit and listen more than we talk, and actually listen. Don't just sit there and wait your turn to speak. Which we had to train folks specifically not to engage in essence winning the argument. That wasn't the point. The point was to provide a solution for the business that they can rely on moving forward, and that as a result of that, they would no longer have to suffer the reputation of arrogance.
I think some of the know-it-all comes from that, the terminology used again. And I'd like to throw it back a bit of people saying IT works like a know-it-all. You know, it is totally unacceptable for senior executives to go around and say, gee, I don't know those financial terms. I just can't be bothered to figure them out because they are too complex. And yet, they are allowed to go around and say, you know, technology is just too complex for me to understand. I don't really like it. Well, number one, we need to make it technology so that they can understand it. Number two, they have to take the time to train on it because it's important as is finance. And number three, on the other side, we have to teach IT folks to have business smarts, so that they know the business as well as the business does, and that the IT folks speak in business terminologies. And we have to show an example by doing the same. So when I have somebody coming to me and saying, you know, we could speed up our transactions by buying this, humongous large server, I say, well, that's fine. Just would you mind going to each one of our members and getting 50 cents from each one of them, so that we could collect the money for the cost of the server? And they look at me and say, why? I said, well, where do you think the money comes from? And they say, the budget. And so we have to then say, well, where does the budget come from, folks? So so it has to work both ways is what I'm saying here.
And there's double truths in what Catherine just said. As a professor, I can tell you in class, getting the vocabulary down is the first thing students have to do to be able to succeed well in a new topic. And so that's an educational role that IT people have to have, which is to make sure the terms that are needed to be learned are, in fact, learned. And we also learn the terms in the user area that are needed. I'll tell you an interesting story. I served on the board of Best Buy for 14 years. And the founder of the company, Dick Schultz, has a high school education. And he's a multi-billionaire, and I was curious, you know, how a guy with a high school education does that. We were in a board meeting one day in 1995, and I asked what Best Buy was doing about a web page. And he looked right at me without any fear of embarrassing himself and said, what's a web page? And at that moment, I realized how a guy with a high school education becomes a multi-billionaire. He just doesn't quit learning, and he's not afraid to be embarrassed.
Yep.
If the term's not familiar, he just asks, which is what Catherine is saying. But at the same time, we need to make it comfortable to learn, and don't take it. If someone doesn't know a term, say, you got to be kidding. You don't know what a web page is? We got to just very helpfully explain it so people feel comfortable so that we can collaboratively learn from each other to get the job done.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after this message. And let's talk about an issue where we are trying to get way too close with our dating partner. And we are trying to say everything that you do, you breathe, you eat food, you have to do it while I know everything that you're doing. And what I'm referring to is when there is total sharing approach that is used in partnership, where an IT expects customer to tell exactly why are they making this decision and getting into the, you know, nitty-gritties of what the decision-making process was, which resulted them in bringing business decision come to completion. At the same time, customer starts looking at IT saying that whatever you do, how you write your code, how you commit your code, we should know it. that is taking it too far, and many times this happens, and that becomes the very reason of failure. So let's talk more about it, how we can prevent this, and if at all this is happening, what are the corrective actions that can be taken. Please stay tuned.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol is a professional services firm with the mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT better. www.evol.com. Visit today. Tune into Small Business Trends Radio with Anita Campbell every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Each week, Anita and expert guests provide a big picture view of the small business market, identifying the trends and major events driving the robust growth of the small business market. Whether you are a small business owner or a company of any size desiring to sell small businesses or reach the small business market with a product or service, Small Business Trends Radio is your resource for trends that influence the global small business market. Right here on the Bottom Line for Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is Partnering for Success in IT, a Dating Game, and our guests for today's show are Catherine Bovee, Jim Weatherby, and Matthew Mizuski. Catherine is the Senior Vice President of Information Technology at Pacific Blue Cross. Jim is the Stevenson Chair Professor of Information Technology at Texas Tech University. And Matthew is the Chief Information Officer for the state of Wisconsin. Before the break, we picked up this interesting area in partnership or dating where we are trying to share everything, or that's a total sharing approach, where we are trying to look into each other's lives and literally trying to influence every decision that's been made at their respective ends. So when we are trying to do the similar partnerships in IT, we will have the same issues. So what is that delicate and healthy balance that can be created which would prevent this issue?
In one way that you could avoid that, and one of the things that we did with other Blue Cross worked with, is we identified areas where we could work together, and we agreed on it, and we said, here are the results we are looking at. And again, there is various degree of collaboration. You could just share results. For example, we wanted to have a policy for open source. One of us did that, and both Blue Crosses are using it. But it might be a much looser arrangement, like talking to the same vendor. So first of all, agreement on the areas where you will collaborate is important, and an agreement on that and what is the expected result, just in order to manage expectations. And acknowledging that you can't do everything for everyone. It's like, you know, once you move together, you spend every nanosecond together. You know, eventually, even though it was love at first sight, you get tired of each other.
Well, there's another dynamic. When we're putting computer systems in, we tend to formalize things that have been informal. And there may be some things that are done that shouldn't be done, but they're being done that way, and you're going to force them out into the open. And I'll just give you a couple of quick examples. When I worked for NCR, we were developing a system that it was a computer-based liquid dispensing cash register, where you just racked up all the bottles, you pushed martini, you got a martini, and you pushed bourbon and water, and you got it. And each one had a separate hose running to the bottle. And what it would do is eliminate a big problem in bars, which is backdoor shrinkage. Well, it seemed like a good idea. The reason it wasn't, and the reason you don't see these systems, is that bars are one area where there's a lot of cash, and bartenders do, in fact, steal. And somehow, most bar owners just accept that as part of their compensation. And it turned out that if we formalized that system and you actually had track of every bit of inventory and sales, that you'd have to double the average bartender's salary at a lot of bars because they were getting tax-free income sort of under the table. We just never saw that one coming because they weren't just going to be open about that particular issue. You see the same type of problem with salespeople and sandbagging orders from one quarter to another, or sandbagging sale travel expenses, things like that, that when you get them as precise as a computer can get it, you're unveiling some informal things that can cause some real partnership problems.
Well, you know, who knew NCR built such cool systems? We kind of want some of those in the state of Wisconsin. you know, in terms of the total sharing, I find that it's an interesting dynamic. We go through the same thing that other large organizations go through in terms of frustration for communication. And we originally thought, like all others do, that you're talking about volume of information and then just making sure you're totally transparent and providing information to folks. But we found that even after we did do a relatively large dump in terms of communicating out, the complaint was still there. And in terms of what we did in analysis, and actually HBR, the Harvard Business Review, just had an article on this as well, that the communication problem was that we weren't listening enough. It wasn't that we weren't sharing enough. So there's always a balance between what you share and what you don't share. But if you're moving into this total sharing arrangement, thinking that you're going to solve a communication problem, keep in mind that that may not be the essence of the problem.
One of the things we did is we had an independent project director, a third party who acted as an independent observer and assisted us. And it was really useful because he had, he wasn't on the one side or the other, and he could communicate to both sides and get agreement and not be viewed as being on one side or the other.
Now, we have this interesting dilemma when we talk about either total, you know, sharing, or on the other hand, where we try to keep things hidden in a way from ITs, and they cannot understand the customer requirements well and thus cannot deliver up to their, you know, needs. And if at all they come to know, and then they are going and challenging if there's something is not, you can say, a valid request or a reasonable request, then the customers want to, you know, break ties, or they don't want to talk good about, or they want to talk bad about IT. So the fact remains is that, again, that's a balancing act that we are looking at, where IT would lose its spirit and say, you know what, whatever we do, that's a thankless job, and we will not help this customer, and we don't want to be proactive, so the morale goes down. So how does the CIO, the IT leadership, take care of this issue where the IT organization's morale is at stake, and at the same time they want to meet the customer's needs as well? And that's all part of partnering with the customer here.
Well, one thing I found that helps is I have a saying that proximity equals productivity. To the extent people can share workspace and spend more time with each other and it becomes transparent that the person is an IT person as opposed to someone who shows up and meets with them once a week, the relationship can be built and the credibility and the confidence can be built so that those types of issues aren't as problematic.
That's actually an interesting statement. We, in our email consolidation, we consolidated Department of Natural Resources, and we actually stationed our folks from centralized IT out at the Department of Natural Resources central office in Madison. In fact, we actually had them in each of our consolidations. We're having them kind of adopt some sort of clothing that identifies them with the customer. So they wore orange hats for the hunters within DNR, and it built this great camaraderie that we actually were all in the same thing together. It was funny as well, and the levity certainly helps. But those folks were given almost all of the kudos in terms of completing the project.
Whenever we do a project, whether it's partnering with someone or outsourcing or whatever degree we collaborate, we always have to show how it supports our balanced scorecard. And so every project member knows what this project will bring to the business and works together with the customer, which in this case is another department, who is also aware of what we are trying to achieve. And I think that's what helps getting business to understand how technology enables what they are doing.
Let me bring another thing to the twist. While we are doing everything and really working hard, and especially for Matt, I think in your case there would not be any M&As happening, but in private sector there would be a twist there where because you have got all your partnership thing going and you're putting your due diligence and creating the relationship, dating is going on well, and suddenly there's an mergers or acquisitions kind of thing happening, which comes in and changes the perspective of who partners with whom.
Well,
that
and actually,
is interruption. So, how do you deal with it?
It's interesting. This is Matt. That within the public sector, and given the tight fiscal times that we just came out of in 2001, 2003, 2005, we see more consolidations than most private sector companies. We just consolidated 26 large-scale agencies into one data center. So we do see this merger and acquisition activity. We see the same back end that a lot of the other folks on the call would certainly be able to talk to. And it is an ongoing challenge in terms of partnerships, because sometimes the partnerships are forced by the budget situation.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. It's right around the break time, and we'll be right back talking about this M&A situation and how is that impacting the very way you would carry out a partnership-related initiative, or how would you sustain the same set of relationships given that the management might be changing or you're getting acquired by another entity which might have its own agenda. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with the mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT better. www.aval.com. Visit today. Montero Consulting is a workplace consulting group that assists businesses to take advantage of mobile work technology and create more effective virtual teams. Our consulting, training, and coaching have delivered proven results for diverse industries. We accomplish this through a combination of our knowledge of technology, management experience, leadership skills, strategic communication focus, and an understanding of organizational behavior. Collectively, our core consultants have over 30 years of experience managing and working with and on virtual and multifunctional teams. Our expertise in remote collaboration also allows us to partner with a plethora of specialists and service providers to deliver custom solutions for our clients. To learn more about our services and to explore our collection of products relating to remote work, visit us at monteroconsulting.com. Montero Consulting, in business for yourself, not by yourself.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is Partnering for Success in IT, a Dating Game. Our guests for today's show are Catherine Boivy, Jim Weatherby, and Matthew Mazewski. Catherine is the Senior Vice President of Information Technology at Pacific Blue Cross. Jim is the Stevenson Chair Professor of Information Technology at Texas Tech University. And Matthew is the Chief Information Officer for the state of Wisconsin. Before the break, we touched the point where M&A and other kind of disruptions are happening, where partnership which was put in place might get jeopardized or might change direction, or that might be preempted by the new management or the new structure that has been put in place. So how do we handle this moving target issue? Matt?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things that we've been discussing in the state of Wisconsin with all the other states throughout the country and in any political organization, we change management structures every 4 years. And so the one thing that I can make certain for folks is that change is going to happen. And so my charge to folks this past 6 months has been, can you find a way to stabilize this enterprise such that someone coming in doesn't change the entire game every 4 years, because that's what they've been experiencing. Sometimes the cycle is as short as 2 years. So how do you do that? We actually developed a model in partnership with some of the folks at Harvard to look at challenges in our particular business, which is the business of government, but it applies everywhere else, and it looks at all of the intersections of interest so that we can have a discussion about those intersections of interest and not the functional components of information technology. We have yet to see if that'll happen because, hopefully the governor will get reelected and we won't have to do that this time, but in another 4 years we certainly will have to look at that.
Now, when we talk about 80-20 rule, like we would be creating a lot of different partnerships and other joint ventures or whatever other kind of alliances, like with everything else, you might have few very effective partnerships and the others not as effective ones. How do you, first of all, ensure, of course, you work towards every partnership to be effective, but how do you basically, first form a relationship and then you say that the bottom 80% have to go away because they're not the most effective?
Well, using our dating metaphor and marital metaphor, occasionally you do have to willing to accept a divorce is in order. You may just say, we've got, not because it's any one person's fault, it's just not a particularly good fit, and we do need to change personnel either from the business side or from the IT side in order to make progress.
Well, and most outsourcing deals nowadays probably last longer than marriages do.
Sure.
So, but I think you need to measure it. I mean, you need to measure the relationship on what works, what doesn't. I mentioned doing it on very small scale, and every little bit helps. One of the things we found is that we don't aggregate the qualitative value of collaboration, meaning we measure every little bit of collaboration because it happens too many ways. And once you set up metrics on what works, what would work for you and what doesn't, then you can very quickly assess whether that partnership is working or not and have a no-fault divorce.
And also in the spirit of counseling, an important role the leadership within this IT organization can play is to be continually asking the customer, how are things going? What can we do to make it better? What advice can I give our people so they can be better partners for your organization and be working with your people to mentor them and give them feedback on how they can better succeed.
And that is a really good point, because if you leave it till the very end where everybody just hates each other, you cannot rescue that relationship. You need to take a very disciplined approach to the relationship and keep working at it. We have regularly scheduled meetings, proper agendas, linking up with each other in the planning process and things like that. So you get out of it really what you put into it. So you need to have the governance there, and you need to formalize it.
Yeah, Jim's point is extremely important. You know, sometimes we forget that we've got 3, 4, 5 year projects on the books, and the assumption is that the requirements and the documentation that we set down in year zero was so absolutely correct that it certainly hasn't changed over the life of this relationship. And we've got to keep in mind that this is an iterative, ongoing ecosystem that we have to continually monitor. We can't make the assumption that since we were so good in year zero, that in year five everything remains true, and that kind of does hold up with the relationship idea. You can't simply assume that the way you were when you were young and engaged is the same that you will be 10 years after marriage.
The customer can actually change on you, and even if the customer doesn't change, they can change what it's going to take for them to be happy with the system without
Absolutely.
Letting you know. change without your permission, so to speak. So it's important to keep that dialogue going, because the requirement definition is, in fact, a moving target. It is not at all static.
Yep.
Now, one last question I have was pertaining to the kind of education that's needed for the folks who are trying to enter into such strategic partnerships. What exactly do they need to do in terms of educating their own IT team, then executive management, and themselves? I mean, what exactly is the preparatory training and weapons that they have to put in their arsenal before they go dating?
I think a course on team building skills, on communicating, on conflict resolution would be something that's helpful. But as well, you have to understand the other organization's goals and deliverables and what makes them tick and what's important to them, because you have to respect each other and, should I say, respect each other in the morning, for that matter, and appreciate that you may want to do the same thing to serve two different goals.
Well, and one of the things that happens with IT people is we tend to be mobile from industry to industry. And if you have IT people, say, working, you know, in the insurance industry with Catherine, you need to be sure they get adequate education in that industry as part of preparing them to be a good partner. One of the litmus tests I use on IT people that would be working with the customer is I just look at their reading material in their office. If it's all technical material, they aren't likely to be a good partner. But if I see some industry trade journal type magazines, books, and some more managerial communication type stuff, that generally gives you a quick litmus test on their likelihood of being a good partner, as opposed to just being more focused technical person.
That's a good tip, Jim. I'm going to take that one. One of the things that we learned is that we've got to know what audience we're communicating to. When I first got to the business owners would come to me and say, you know, I'd love to continue doing business. I don't know what lines of business you're in. So we developed our first IT services catalog that didn't speak in technical terms but spoke in business terms so folks could understand exactly what the services are that are offered by centralized IT, know exactly what those costs are, and then know specifically how to control those costs.
Sure.
So knowing your audience in terms of education is extremely important.
And you have to know yourself, too. I mean, however much you think your organization is the best, there are some things that work well and some things that don't. And when you talk to the organization you want to partner with, they may be able to assist you in the areas that don't work well and complement you through that. But you have to be honest with yourself. Your organization is not perfect either.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would really like to thank you, Catherine, Jim, and Matthew, for sharing your thoughts and insights about how we can develop and nurture successful partnerships in IT.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.
My pleasure.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much. Now, like dating, we all saw that partnering is all about thinking
and working towards equal and mutual benefit. Understanding each other's concerns, then you've got ambitions and goals, and then finally lending resources and core competencies that you may have towards success of your partner. And as we all know, it's easier said than done, and we have to put in the efforts to form partnership in IT across business units, departments, and or up and downstream value chain players, and they may get jeopardized due to personal agendas of the people involved, and there might be lack of trust and disconnect in terms of strategic values of this initiative. So partnership is not for everybody, but if whosoever is getting into it, just tread with caution. Has your IT organization benefited from such a partnership? Please tell us your story at views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Aul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. Please join Sanjog Aul at 1 p.m. Pacific Time for another of CIO Talk Radio.